Our sermon for this morning continues the series Eyes on Jesus with the theme, Rusting Eyes. When God the Son took up human flesh in the incarnation, God experienced exhaustion, physical exhaustion, for the first time. The baby Jesus needed sleep just like any newborn does. And as an adult, he needed rest just like we do. A good night's sleep every day until up to the day he died. You might remember from the first gospel in the chapters, or the first couple of chapters in Genesis, that God the Son rested from his labors on the seventh day of creation. But it wasn't because he was tired or exhausted from creating the world and all that was in it, but it was because he was done creating. From Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. But that didn't mean that God's job was finished, that he was done. And Jesus said after healing an invalid on the Sabbath, my Father is working until now, and I am working, from John chapter 5. According to his human nature, he had to stop working from time to time to rest his eyes and his weary limbs. This was a necessary part of fulfilling all righteousness for us, since he had to be made like his brother in every respect, yet without sin, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a propitiation for the sins of the people, from Hebrews chapter 2. An event that most beautifully illustrates the two natures of Christ is when, during a storm, Jesus slept soundly in the stern of a boat on the Sea of Galilee. As the boat filled with water, the panicked disciples woke Jesus up, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Mark chapter 4. According to his divine nature, he could restore the troubled waters to a state of rest. According to his human nature, Jesus needed physical rest. Since Jesus truly is the God-man, his divine nature is immortal with ever-watching eyes, while his human nature was mortal, which meant that one day his eyes would close in death. This is a paradox that we just can't understand. But it was necessary for our salvation, since only a man can die. And only God's death in the flesh can atone for the sin of the whole world. On Good Friday, we observe God the Son's eyes closing around 3 p.m., when the weight of the world's sins and his Father's wrath against our guilt shut Jesus' eyes in death. St. Mark identifies three women who rested their eyes on Jesus as he suffered and died on the cross. They were Mary Magdalene, another Mary, and Salome. He also notes when he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem, from Mark 15. The Gospels make it very clear that many women were supportive of Jesus' ministry and that he cherished their care and friendship. Surely he founded much needed rest for his weariness and satisfaction for his hunger in many of their houses over his 3-year ministry. But now they rested their eyes on an unthinkable tragedy. Their beloved teacher and Lord was dead and in the tomb. They could see and think of nothing else to do other than to provide some proper care for his body. Many had helped care for Jesus in his death, including Joseph of Arimathea, who had used his influential position to obtain Jesus' body from Pilate. He had even donated his own tomb, which had been hewed out of a rock. He donated a linen shroud to cover Jesus' naked body and laid it to rest in the tomb. The two Marys and Salome observed all of this during the burial. And they had observed that he had not been anointed with the traditional spices. So they saw and they felt it necessary to buy them and return to the tomb early that morning after the Sabbath was over to perform this task, since they couldn't do it on Saturday during the Sabbath. But as they rested their eyes on the sealed tomb, the women didn't see two important facts about Jesus' body laying there in the tomb. First, they didn't recognize that Jesus' body had already been anointed for his burial by another woman. Way back on Ash Wednesday, we saw this anonymous woman crash a dinner party, hastily break open an alabaster flask of costly ointment and perfume, and dump it on Jesus' head. These disciples thought this was a horrible waste, and they fussed at her, chastising her. But Jesus responded, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly, I say to you, whenever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Mark 14. The two Marys and Salome either hadn't heard about this or they had just forgotten already. The second thing they couldn't see was that Jesus' body wouldn't need any attention after the Sabbath had passed, since he wouldn't be in the tomb. He had predicted over and over again that he would die and rise again on the third day. But first, he had to fulfill the Sabbath that he had instituted long ago on the seventh day of creation, the first day of rest. On Maundy Thursday, we learned that the Passover and the Old Testament sacrificial systems were just types or a foreshadowing of the New Testament in Jesus' blood that had come. These ceremonies had fulfilled their purpose. And after his death and burial on Good Friday, Jesus fulfills the Sabbath once and for all by resting in the tomb. Then today, Easter Sunday, the first day of a new creation, he burst forth from the grave, never to die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Mary would start to recognize this based on the testimony of the Easter angels and of the appearance of Jesus in the flesh. But back on Good Friday and Holy Saturday, as her eyes rested on the tomb of Jesus, she could see nothing but death. On that first Easter morning, with eyes that were still probably red from weeping and bleary from fatigue, she first sees confusion and heartbreak, and then her risen Savior. What God the Father saw was that the time had come. Jesus' brief nap after his death for the sin of the whole world was over. The third day had come. Alleluia. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Jesus' resurrection should give encouragement to us now, today. We can be at times heavily laden with guilt and weary from the effects of sin and on this creation. Physical and emotional pain disrupt our sleep. We lie awake in bed worrying about ourselves and our loved ones. But saddest of all is when we rest our eyes in sorrow upon the graves of our family members and friends who have been laid to rest. It is at these times our eyes can see nothing but death. But come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. For Jesus is our Sabbath rest, and says to you in the midst of your fatigue, pain, and sorrow, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, for I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In Jesus, there is rest for your soul, now and resurrection in store for you and for all who believe and are baptized, even though one day your eyes will close in the sleep of death. So rest your eyes on Jesus and enjoy his peace, which surpasses all understanding. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.